was drifting out in sin. I had no peace, no joy within. But Jesus came and made me glad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. He saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. He makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. He makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. When Jesus comes, the way is bright, for he's the way, the truth, the light. He cheers me on when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Sing it. Oh, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. Oh, he makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. He'll save your soul and make you glad. He's the dearest friend I ever. Come on, sing it. Oh, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. Oh, he makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. When Jesus comes, the way, for he's the way, the truth, the light. And he cheers me on when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, yes, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day he came. Oh, he makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. On that first verse, when I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. Oh, but Jesus came and made me glad. Hallelujah. Dearest friend I ever had. Oh, yes, he saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget that day he came. He makes me glad when I am sad.
Do you remember when he saved you, when he made a new creature out of you, when you were born again? What a day, what a day. Welcome to Open Bible Telecast, Dialogue, Radio, Internet, Facebook, Touching the World. What a joy. Take heed to yourself. I don't think I could ever make a statement that is so powerful as that statement. Take heed to yourself. That is a powerful statement, and it comes straight from the word of the Lord. Take heed to yourselves, he said. Take heed to yourselves, the Lord said. Let me read it. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. Now, what day are we talking about when we're talking about a day coming upon you unawares? We're talking about the day of the Lord. What else could you talk about in such dire words and language? The day of the Lord, when Jesus comes. And you know, I remember when I was first saved. Would you realize it's 67 years ago this month that I was converted to Christ? 67 years ago this month the year of 1952, the month of March, I came to know the wonderful Savior. And I remember, I vividly remember some of the first things that I began to hear was Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the day of the Lord, two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, I'm going to get to that in a little bit and show you how the devil stole that theology from the church about 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the devil stole Matthew 24 away from the church. And now you almost never hear anybody preach on Matthew 24. Well, I'm here to tell you, if there's a chapter in the Bible that's apropos and that's right on target, it's Matthew 24. I plan to preach in the morning. I plan to preach in the morning on this thought, one taken, the other left. One taken, the other left. Matthew 24. I will prove to you in the morning that Matthew 24 is applied to today and to the church, and that the day of Noah has arrived as it was in the days of Noah, and that we're living in the time of the imminent coming of Jesus Christ, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus for the bride. Now, he doesn't come this first time to the earth. He comes into the heavens. He comes in the clouds, and we're caught up to meet him in the clouds and return to heaven with him. And then we're up there for 7 years before we come back to the earth with him, all riding white horses to set up his kingdom on this earth. Could I tell you, now listen to me, this is mightily important, that in 7 years we could be in the kingdom of God. When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's prayer words. You're praying for the kingdom to come. You're praying for the rapture to occur, the tribulation period to transpire, and the Lord to return with his great bride to set up his kingdom on this earth. And we, with Christ, will reign 1,000 years on this earth. It will be peace beyond measure. It will be peace out of the heavens. Oh, what a day that's going to be. But right now, I need to warn you. I need to say it with dire feeling of circumstance. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Quit playing games in the spiritual realm and get yourself so right with God that he is the center of your life. Now, what we want to do today is talk about this business of taking heed to ourselves. We're going to talk about some of the things transpiring. The Bible talks about these days being perilous days, perilous days. Then the Bible talks about these being morally decrepit days. I mean, morality absolutely gone down the river. And immorality reigning all over the world. And America is no exception. It really does reign in America. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about when the restrainer is gone. You got to hear this now. We'll talk a little bit about when the restrainer is gone. We'll go to 2 Thessalonians for that. And we'll show you that there is a moment coming when the Holy Spirit and the church and the bride all together are removed from the sphere of the earth up into the heavens, and the devil takes over down here, and the restrainer is gone. Nothing will restrain filth during that period of time. So you need to take heed to yourself. You need to quit being careless about this business of the Lord coming. I was talking to a state overseer recently. Well, it's been a couple of years, and he said, I don't remember the last sermon I heard on the rapture. Now, that's sad. That's sad when a leader of the church did not remember the last sermon he had heard on the rapture, because it's out of style. The rapture is out of style today. There is such a spirit of backsliding, a spirit of deception, a spirit of compromise, until nobody wants to talk about Jesus coming and us leaving in a moment. And Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. That's the words of the Christ. That's not Joe Chambers talking. That's the words of the Christ. Take heed. Let me read a little bit there. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. You know what surfeiting is? That is troublesome things, perilous things, dark things, sicknesses and trials and great sorrows in your home or family or life. And just it's a dark day for you. So when surfeiting time, when these kind of times come, overcharged with surfeiting, remember, don't let it be fuzzle you until you forget the coming of the Lord. So he said as these days would come. Then he mentioned drunkenness. And that's when you just get overwhelmed. Not whiskey particular could be that, but it's more than that. It's just things. It's buying and making a living and all the responsibilities and pleasures. I mean, people on vacations all the time anymore, and that's more important to most people than anything they do is when is vacation time again. And he said, don't be overcharged with all of that. Not wrong to go on a vacation, but it's wrong to forget the Lord while you're going on a vacation. You got to keep the Lord before you. And then he says the cares of this life. He gave three things for you to take heed about. Three things. This, what a sermon. I'm not preaching this tomorrow, but it could be preached tomorrow. Take heed about surfacing, and then take heed about drunkenness, and then take heed about the cares of this life. Now, none of them are sinful in themselves. They're only sinful when you make them so. They only sin when you make them thus. So most of what will hinder people when they're not prepared to go when Jesus comes are just the natural world around you, the secular society in which you live. All the things it takes to survive, just making a living, everything that goes with it, all of those things. And my friend, the Bible is so clear. Take heed to these things. Take heed to them. Don't let them overwhelm you. Don't let them overshadow you. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to ourselves. Oh, how we must take heed to ourselves. How we must take heed to ourselves and yourself. And I beg of you today to take this message serious and get a hold of God. Now, I didn't think maybe I might not, or I did think I might not be here today because I was looking for the rapture yesterday and last night and again this morning. And so I put an announcement around on Facebook and radio stations that in case of the rapture, we would not air this program. Well, the rapture hasn't occurred, and here I am, but it may well occur before next Saturday. And it may occur before tomorrow. And I'm warning you, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Now, let's get into this book of Luke, if we might. The 21st chapter of Luke. You need to read this chapter between now and tomorrow. Why don't you do that? Remember, you lose an hour tonight. At 10 o'clock, it'll be 11 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, it'll be 1 o'clock. At 6 o'clock in the morning, it'll be 7 o'clock. By today's time and tomorrow's time, you lose an hour. Don't forget that. Well, let's go to Luke 21 a little bit and spend a little time here. And they asked him, saying, but when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs? What shall be the signs when these things shall come to pass? Now, they're talking to Jesus, the Son of God. And the disciples was hearing him warn them of this dark day coming, of this judgment day coming. And they wanted to know, well, what do we look for? What's going to happen? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth nigh. Go ye not after them. Don't go after anybody that says they're Jesus, or that Jesus is down here or over there. Don't follow them. Don't follow them. For when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he to them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall there be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. I'm talking about things that have been occurring now for some years. Things that you can see a markedly increase. Earthquakes used to be a few a year, and now they're hundreds and thousands a year. I mean, everything that this Bible talks about are coming to pass as swiftly as you could imagine. There is nothing that needs to occur for Jesus to come right now. Not a thing needs to happen. Nothing else needs to be fulfilled. There are no signs that have to occur. Jesus could come right now. Do you understand that? Jesus could come right now. It's absolutely at that hour. And before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to their synagogues and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, Jesus said. Well, it's happening all over the world. We in America don't know how good we have it when it comes to persecution for being a Christian. Thousands are dying every year just for the markets, a fact that they are born again Christians and they believe in Jesus Christ and they believe in the saving blood of the cross. That's all they need. Many parts of the world, and you are subject for death. You're subject for death, and thousands are being killed every year. Oh, don't go by what's happening in America. They'd kill us if they could. Believe me, this liberal crowd who hate President Trump with all they've got, they've turned from the Bible and God with everything they are, and they'd love to get rid of you and me. They will rejoice when we're gone. Can you imagine the celebration they'll have the morning after the rapture when the word is out that all the Christians have disappeared, and they will be... Oh, there will be some shouting hallelujahs. I'm talking about false hallelujah. There'll be stuff going on that you can't imagine, my dear friend. This world is going to rejoice when we are gone. They really are. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes in diverse places, famines, persecutions, pestilence, diverse fearful things happening. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, and on and on. I mean, this is the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus, friend. He's telling us, the disciples had asked him, what will be the sign of the end? And he says, here are the signs of the end. Now, can you be any plainer than that? How could Jesus make it any clearer to you? How could I warn you any more specific than to show you exactly what Jesus said? I mean, these are what the Son of God. He cannot lie. He didn't err in the things he taught. His words are yea and amen. And you know that. I don't have to tell you. If you could doubt the words of Jesus, then you're in pitiful shape. I'm telling you. You're in a mess. The Bible goes on. Settle before in your heart. When these people persecute you, not to meditate on what you're going to say, for he'll give you the right words in the right moment. I love that. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But listen to this. But there shall not be a hair of your head that shall perish. In your patience possess you your soul. Now Jesus is teaching. This is his words. I'm giving them to you because I'm afraid you haven't been hearing them. I'm concerned that your preachers aren't preaching them. Well, I'm trying to warn you. Then you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies. Listen. You shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies. What do you see over in the Middle East right now? Jerusalem compassed with armies on every side. Hate Jerusalem, determined to destroy them. Jesus said that would happen. All of this in the sign of the end. All of this in the signs of the end. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You do know there's one more period of time in which Jerusalem will be possessed of the Antichrist, of the enemy. That's during the tribulation period. Jesus has got to come before this happens. See, Jesus has got to come before Jerusalem falls again into the hands of the Gentiles. Jerusalem is so secure right now with the armies that they have and the equipment and their military prowessness, their capacity. They're awesome in their ability to defend themselves, but they will be defeated one more time. It will probably be by deception, making a false covenant, with a false enemy. However it happens, it will happen. And Jesus says, flee to the mountains. Find you a place to hide, because there's going to be great wrath upon the people in that day. And then he says that they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with a power and great glory. Oh, my friends, listen to me. And he spake to them a parable of the fig tree. When you see all of this happening, it's like the fig tree. You know that that generation shall not pass. This generation. Now, which was it, yours or mine or the one in between us? You know, there's about, what, 5 generations living right now? I've been with my daughter and granddaughter and great-granddaughter this week. That's 4 generations. That's the highest percentage we can have in our family. So we got 4 generations living right now. Which generation is the generation that shall see the coming of the Lord? Well, I'd like to believe it's mine. But I can promise you, if it's not mine, it's the one right under me. Right under me. I promise you. See, you understand. He said, in this generation, why all these things shall come to pass. And we're seeing them now in a fullness more than ever. So it could well be the next generation under me and not my generation. I sure want it to be mine. I want to go in the rapture. I just put a placard in my wife's cemetery lot place where we planted my sweetheart. And they wanted me to go ahead and put mine there. I said, no, I ain't putting mine there because I'm not expecting to go. I'm expecting to go in the rapture. Now, if I have to die, then my kids can do it. If they don't want to do it, then, okay, save the money. Don't matter with me. I'm going to come out of there anyway, whether there's a name above my place or not. If I'm there, I'm coming out of there when that great rapture takes place. You can believe that. I said to my kids this week, we went over to put a flower at mom's grave, and I said, I'd like to be here when the rapture takes place and watch you come out of there and scream, holy, 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 baby, I'm coming with you. You know, what a day that's going to be. What a day. What a day. So likewise, when you shall see all these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Have you got that? Now, Jesus said this. I want you to get this on your mind. I want you to get this in your heart. So likewise ye, this is verse 31 of 21. Luke 21, verse 31, the words of Jesus. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And I told you of 4 generations, my great-grand, my daughter, and me, that's 4 generations. Now, one of these four generations is the generation he's talking to. I cannot tell you which one it is, and that's good, because you need to know that you will not be warned when it's time for it to happen. It will simply happen. I cannot conceive of it going more than a very short few years. I mean, how bad can it get? How wicked can people become? How many babies can we kill? How many transvestites can we have to endure? How many lesbians and homosexuals are going to rise? How many liars and cursers and swearers and God haters and just wicked people everywhere. It's a wicked world, and I'm going to show you the evidence of that. And I'm telling you, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. I'm leaving them words up there because I want them to arrest you. Now, I know radio people are not seeing them, but take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Get yourself ready. Now, let me go down and read these last verses before we move on. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. Heartaches and heartbreaks and troubles and just all kinds of dark things. Take heed that your heart not be overcharged with surfeiting. And then with drunkenness, that's making money and buying and just enjoying pleasure and living a carefree life without any consciousness of the imminent coming of the Lord. And then number 3, the cares of this life. That's just simply making a living. That's just simply mowing the yard. That's just simply making sure you take care of the things that are necessary for life. Use the world, the Bible says, but don't abuse it. Use the world, but don't abuse it. Now, you know, I can read on. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Notice that now. Take heed, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You hear people teaching that the tribulation will only be in the Middle East. Well, that is a lie from the devil. That is the craziest idea. Where do these doctrines come from? I just don't know. It's like the one that teaches against the Matthew 24 being the great hope of the rapture. And Jesus coming, one in the field or two in the field. One of them is taken and the other left. Till grinding at a meal, and one gets taken and the other left. Two women are standing in their kitchen washing dishes or fixing a meal, and one's taken and the other left. Two men are sitting at the table eating. The father goes, the son stays. The son goes, the father stays. That's what he's talking about. And that's in Matthew 24. And it's a lie. It's an absolute untruth to try to take that away from the church as the bride of Christ and the coming of the Lord. I'm going to preach that in the morning. You want to hear it? I promise you by the Holy Ghost, I can prove to you without a question that Matthew 24 is this generation. We're living in it. We're living in it. One of the generations of right now existing on the coming of the Lord is at the day. Well, at the door. And in that day, in that daytime, he was teaching in the temple. And by night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. All of them came early. I wish I could hear him again, wouldn't you? Well, I will soon. Won't you? Will you? What do you want to, I should say. God bless you, friends. Now, I'm talking to you today about take heed to yourselves. And now I want to invite you to call. I want questions. I want you to ask me anything. Hey, it's good to have all the folks in Eastern North Carolina, Eastern South Carolina, WSTS. Now, I want you back on the phones with me. So pick up your phone and call immediately from wherever you're hearing me. Doesn't matter what place. Facebook is all over the world. So call me from anywhere you want to call me, okay? I want to hear from you. You are important to me. You are important to me. Now, you know what we're talking. Take heed. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to ourselves. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, wherever you live, let me hear from you. The number, as you know, 704. I'm going to put it up. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. There's an 800 number if you don't have a cell phone. And there's another number if you're overseas in some other country. And then there's my email. You can send an email to me, and I will get it not during the program, but afterwards. And we want to hear from all of you, everywhere you are. All my friends in the Middle East. I mean in the eastern part of North Carolina and South Carolina. Myrtle Beach. Oh, we have a lot of people that listen to me in Myrtle Beach. And we've been off a while, and I hope you're back on the line. I hope you heard the little announcement. I wouldn't be on today in case of the rapture. I wanted you to feel how imminent that rapture is. I want you to know, my friend, there's no time to play games. There's no time to fool around. It's time, my friend. It's time to go. Now, let's have some questions. I want to answer them. And while you are calling, 704-391-0588, remember, I'm preaching in the morning on one gone and one left. One gone and the other left. I'm preaching from Matthew 24 in the morning. I want you to come hear that sermon. I really do. I want to get through to you. I want to get you conscious that it's time to take heed to yourself. It's time to take heed. We have such a vast audience. I'm hearing from people all over the world. I'm amazed at the places on the face of the earth now that are hearing us, that enjoying these programs. One man wrote me and said, I'm preaching everything you preach all over Pakistan. All over Pakistan, he said. I'm preaching what you preach. I like that. Everywhere you are, you take these things, get your Bible open, get right in Luke 21, Matthew 24. The sermon, by the way, Matthew 24, will be on Facebook and Internet Monday, Lord willing. No hindrance. I don't think it will be. And so I'm begging of you to get these sermons in your heart. Get this material in your life. And remember, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. So very important. Now I want to go, if I might, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. I want to give you some feeling of just how bad it is out there. You hear these words, and they're really overwhelming. They really are overwhelming. And they'll get your attention if you'll let yourself listen. It's just that hour, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, are we living there? The last days, perilous. Notice that word, perilous. Times shall come. Great peril. Great trial. Great darkness. I mean, it is a terrible hour. Let me take a call. I'll be right back, and I hope you will keep calling. I want to hear from you today. It's my interest. You're on the air. May I help you?
Brother Chambers, I wanted to let you know that I did a Bible study on the Matthew 24.
Yes.
I found out that those words, it says the one will be taken. It means, call my lump, I can't pronounce, but it says to be taken as a companion or friend.
Yes.
And where it says one left, it has the word, it comes from like being divorced.
Yes.
So, and also when...
So one taken is a happy word, and one left is an unhappy word.
Yes, means like divorce. But also when Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, I will come and receive you unto myself. It's the very same word, perlabano, which means to take you as a companion and a friend. So,
to receive as loving grace unto oneself. That's what that's what that word means.
Yes, and the other one is left. Like you, if you're not ready, you're going to be divorced from God. You're going to be left.
You're going to be left. And that's exactly right. And there's going to be the saddest day in human history will be the day after the rapture. When you realize the multitude of people who've heard it and they doubt it, they've divorced from it, they've left it behind, they've quit hearing it, they've quit preaching it, they've quit believing it, and suddenly it happens, and there's no way when that multitude of us saints are gone, there'll be no way to deny it. They'll know something has happened.
Yes. Well, thank you, Brother Chambers. I miss you. Thank you.
I'm just delighted you called, my dear sister. I want more calls like this. Now, this is what we need to do. Let's get back being busy with calls on this phone program, on this open Bible dialogue. The more you call and get involved, the more people will enjoy listening. They will enjoy hearing us have communion with each other, conversation with each other, more than just me talking. You get a little bored with just hearing me. I don't want you to get bored, and I'm not suggesting you should, but I know what happens out there. And so get involved. Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. We got secretaries standing by, and you can get this program in written form, free of charge, if you simply call. We'll mail this booklet to you, and I'm telling you, you'll have material that you can preach as a preacher. You can share with your pastor. You can make notes for Sunday school classes. You can make copies if you want to give them out to other people. You can order more than one from us, and we'll send them to you. We are here to get this word out. I have never had such a burden. After our radio programs, I try to remember for the next 2 or 3 hours to pray, Lord, let the word prevail. Let it go forth. Would you say that with me right now to God, Father? Let this program prevail today. Let these words of Brother Chambers reach out like a great dynamo and grip the hearts of men and women and awake them and shake them and stir them that they get ready for the coming of the Lord. I mean, it is dark. Pray with me for that, that God's word will just prevail. I mean, I'm just sitting here as a man that loves this Bible. I love it with all my heart. It's real to me. Now, while you're calling, this know also that in the last days, perilous time, dangerous time shall come. For men, boy, can you believe this? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I have never seen such self-love. The schools are teaching it. Everybody really believes, I got to be me. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people don't care what you believe. They don't care what is right. They don't care anything about what other people believe. I have people who the modern church wants to do its own thing. They don't want to get back in the old realm of this great truth. Well, I'm telling you the truth, and it's as rock solid as it's ever been. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, always wanting, for me. It's a me generation. Everybody knows that. All you got to do, listen to your kids. Listen to your grandkids. Deal with your neighbor's kids. Deal with even your adult friends. And they are so selfish. It's unreal. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Notice that. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Listen to this now. Blasphemous. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful and unholy. Wow. Perilous days. All of those words are right on. The whole generation is in a mode of thinking that boggles my little mind. I don't understand how it could be so far gone. How in my short little lifetime the world has gone from such pure thinking to such selfish thinking. I do not grasp it, but boy, it's big time. Without natural affections. How about mothers who can kill their little babies in their womb? That little baby in their womb. Oh, but it's just a fetus. No, it is not a fetus. You're not pregnant. You're with child, mother. Quit saying pregnant and just say with child. With child. My granddaughter, she's telling everybody now, I guess I can say it, one of them is now pregnant with child. She's got a number 5 grandchild coming along. Listen, traitors, traitors, hitty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The church is full of that. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, my friend, it is really a dark hour. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Hey.
How are you? Can you hear me clear?
Say that again.
Oh, can you explain Revelation 7:14, where millions of people are standing with white robes, and I think an elder asked who these people were? Was that people that came out of the rapture?
Let me look at that now. Revelation 7, and what verse?
14.
13.
Oh, 14, yeah.
15. Revelation 7, let me find it here for my dear friend. Verse 15 says, therefore.
14.
14. And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they. See, that's tribulation saints. Chapter 17 is a picture, first, of the 144,000 Jews that have been sealed. And second, beginning with verse 11, it is the tribulation saints. These are people who missed the rapture. They missed the rapture, but they repented. They got right with God. Then they got slaughtered and killed, as the Antichrist is going to slaughter and kill anybody that professes Christ. Will be professing death the moment they profess Christ. They'll be accepting death. And these are they which came out of the tribulation. They got saved out of the tribulation. There'll be a multitude, friend, who missed the rapture. Like I said a while ago, the saddest day in human history will be the day after the rapture. But there will be millions who'll fall on their faces and repent. And no, it's heaven or hell. The dice cast. You make a choice one way or the other. You're either going to spend eternity with the devil, or you're going to make a choice to die for Christ. And so multitudes will make a choice to die for Christ.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, that's going to be a wonderful day. Yeah.
Well, it's a sad day to have to get saved after the rapture. Because you don't have to wait and get saved after the rapture. If you thinking you can get saved after the rapture, you probably can't. Because people in that attitude, the Lord said there'd be a whole crowd of people. And I'll get to that in a moment in 2 Thessalonians, that he doesn't give another chance. They missed the rapture. Their last chance was before the rapture. There's going to be a multitude of them right now. There's people all over this globe. They're too busy for God. They're too careless for God, and they're going to miss the rapture, and they're going to be lost, and there's going to be no hope for them. Because at some point, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you. Call quickly. Oh, I like this. I love calls from my listeners. This subject is on fire. It is so absolute necessary. If ever you've got yourself ready for the coming of the Lord, this day demands it. Take heed to yourself. I scream that at you. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Don't play around any longer. Get yourself right with God. And that Y up there on yourself with that picture right beside it almost looks like ourself. But it's actually yourself, but ourself is fine. Ourself. So take heed to yourself, okay? Take heed to yourself out there. Now let me read on. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, I lost my place there going to Revelation for my dear friend. That's okay. I'm glad. I'm delighted. Take heed to yourself without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I have so many people that hate me because I speak these truths without question. And I speak them believing them. If you think I'm questioning what I'm saying, I'm not. I believe it. I believe it's rock solid, bona fide, I mean set and die. I just believe it's absolute. I just believe it's absolute. And I preach it like that. I'm not going to get in here and say, I think this is right, and I think that's right. No, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that, and that makes it right. Okay? That makes it right. Sorry. No questions asked. Hallelujah. Traitors, he said. Hiddy. High-minded. High-minded. Do you know people that are so high-minded, you can't talk to them? I know a lot of people in the church so high-minded, you can't tell them nothing. I'm amazed at it. Well, here's an old man that is going to stand rock solid right here on the book until it's over. I think I've got at least, if Jesus tarries, 10 more years. And I'm going to be here doing it. I'm going to be pastoring with all I got, I promise you, and getting ready every day for the coming of the Lord. And listen now. Let me read on. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, can you understand that? Look at the religious people you know. Just make a quick view. Don't be contradicting them. Don't be criticizing them. Just be honest. Just look at them. And what do you see? You see people by the multitudes with a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I said to a man last night, sitting in a restaurant, waiting on a meal that was being fixed for me. It was too big a crowd to stay, so I was going to bring it home. Wonderful. New York strip steak from Friday's. They have the best steaks. And I'm not advertising for them, believe me. But I just love their steaks. And I was waiting for a man to come sit down beside me. And I asked him about Christianity. Well, yeah, I'm trying to be one. I'm trying to be one. And you can listen to him. And I tried to question him, get him really thinking. I don't know whether I succeeded or not. I didn't have long, but I tried. But you see people all the time, they talk about being religious. They talk about being Christian. They go to church every blue moon. Blue moon, that's not very often, is it? They're just religious, but they don't really serve Christ. So they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I want to tell you, when you get God in you, it transforms your life. It makes a new creature out of you. And how do you deny the power of God? By being religious without being true, without being real, without having the real thing. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. From such turn away. Listen to that. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Oh, that's powerful. Remember now, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through about 6 or 7. Read those scriptures and take heed to yourself. Get concerned about yourself. Get bothered about where you are. Now, another call I hope will come. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Everybody all over the East now, where we're back on with you dear people listening by WSTS, 100,000 watts of deaf of FM, man, it reaches a long ways. And I'm so proud to be back with you. But listen, I need every one of you to help me now by sending a gift this week. Send your gift to help me. I'm behind. And we had to kind of make a compromise with them, and we made that compromise, and so we're getting them all paid, but I got to have your help. So don't let me get any more behind. I want it all paid in about 2 or 3 months, and I want to be right with them and right with you, and I want you to help me. Okay? Now, don't put that off and don't play games. If you love having Brother Chambers back on WSDS, put your money where your mouth is, okay? Put your money where your mouth is and help me pay the bills. You have to help me. I cannot do it without you. I promise you, radio's expensive. And if I'm going to be on, I've got to have your help. So do it quickly, okay? Grab a phone right now if you don't have the address. They'll send you an envelope, and you can send your gift, and we'll bless you for it. We'll bless you. I'll bring you the truth with all I got. I'm not going to play no games. You know me that good. I'm going to give it to you as straight as an arrow. As straight as an arrow. One of yours is going to be our camp meeting preacher this year, Brother Clarence Sanderson over at Maxton. Maxton, pastor's over there. And he's going to be the camp meeting speaker the last week of June. And so you better get your reservations made up here, because I'm hoping the hotels and motels are all going to be full by that day. And just a great company of wonderful people enjoying camp meeting at Paul Creek Ministry in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, you'll see, if you got Facebook, you'll see the announcement on the Facebook. Well, that tells you just the pearliest day we live it in. It's dark. It's dark out there, my friend. Now, morality. I've never seen the morals of men so bad. It is horrible. The immorality that has taken over our land and our cities. I'm trying to prove to you it's time to take heed to yourself. It's dark out there. All hell is taking over our land, not just America, but the world. Wickedness is coming like a storm. It is a dark hour. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Are you hearing me? The coming of the Lord is imminent. You know that word imminent means any moment. Any moment. He's coming. He's coming. Call quickly now. 1-800-704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now quit fooling around and be part of this. Be part of this, okay? There's the number in front of you. There's the title over my head. I don't want to so many words. I don't mean to overwhelm you. I just want to make sure you understand what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, how important you are to me, how important you are to me. Now grab a phone. I'm going to leave these up another 2 minutes. We're going to go to Romans, and I want to read you a little picture, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, I want you to hear that again. This is the church of America. This is the church of America. I remember when I first got saved 67 years ago, the churches was alive with true wonder. I pastored in Black Mountain, and we had a group of ministers together, the Episcopalian, the Baptist, the Methodist, and the Presbyterian. And we were just brothers, and they talked the same language. That I was amazed at the Episcopalian man there. He just seemed to be so real, and we had fellowship together. But now, 50 years later, you can hardly find somebody that believes the Bible. Everybody's got a new Bible, off after a new version, off after some new idea. The doctrines have gone down the tube, and it's a dark hour. And listen, because when you knew God, that's the American churches. When you knew God, you glorified him not as God, but became vain in your imagination, and your foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. That's the church. They became fools. Are you listening? The church is full of fools, biblically speaking now. I'm not calling them fools. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changing the glory of the uncorruptible God to the image made like unto corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and four-footed animals and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up, the church world, right now, as a whole. Not the fundamental crowd believing the truth. Not those still in the old time way of being born again. I'm talking about the church world as a whole has become so ignorant of God's word until the Bible says God has given them up. I'm telling you that much of the church world has been given up by God. Isn't that horrible for Joe Chambers to have to say? Much of the church world has been given up by God. I mean, God has given up. He sees no hope for them. He sees no change in them. Now, I believe he's going to give us a sovereign revival for those that want it. But as a whole, the church world is given up of God. It's a dark thing. A dark thing. Now, let me tell you again. I'm preaching tomorrow from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, one taken, the other left. Two shall be at the mill grinding. One shall be taken. Two shall be at the office doing business work, typing on computers. One taken and the other left. And over you can go all over the globe. People taken. One taken, one left. Can you imagine if Jesus comes during church in the morning? How many choirs will have one or two that slip out and are gone, just disappear, and the rest are left standing there? And they can look over what happened to her. She was standing here, you know. And how many preachers are going to be left in their pulpits trying to explain why they didn't go? Well, it's just fixing to happen. Take heed to yourself. I'm trying to warn you to take heed to yourself. Get yourself ready. Get yourself right with God. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. Well, I'd love to have some more calls in these about 12 minutes we have left. But I want to tell you about the restrainer. I don't have, oh man, we'll probably have to continue this next week. I think I'll just plan that right now. Next week we'll talk about when the restrainer is gone. What will it be like when the Holy Spirit is no longer in the world holding back darkness? See, the Holy Spirit is the restrainer of all wickedness. The Holy Spirit has always been the restrainer of wickedness. The Holy Spirit is the right arm of God Almighty. So I'm just going to wait on that and do that next week and talk about when the restrainer is gone. How about telling every friend you got to hear this. You got to hear what happens when suddenly there's no restraint out there. In fact, there's not very much right now. It's already began. The absence of a restraining power probably started 10 years ago, maybe 20. And it grows by the day that there seems to be nothing holding wickedness back. Look at the transvestite industry now. Just thousands of people claiming that they're not boys, they're girls. They're not girls, they're boys. Even though their body says something different, Their minds are telling them, you're a girl, you're not a boy. See, that's demons. That's demon possession. Transvestite generation cannot be anything but demon spirits. If you got a son or daughter saying that, you need to cast the devil out of them. Get on your face and start praying and fasting, because those are spirits. Now, they may not be possessed. They only may be obsessed at the given time. See, demons will obsess you until they can possess you. Demons can oppress, they can obsess, and they can possess. They cannot possess until you give them control of your life. But they can obsess and hold you captive and keep festering and growing until they can possess. Now, we live in such a day. And if you don't understand this, you need to get your Bible and get started studying and realize we are in a crisis hour. There is no ifs and ands about it. We are in a crisis hour. Now, let me bring this program to an end. I got 10 minutes. I'd love to take two or three calls, so grab your phone, okay? Grab your telephone. If you don't understand restraining, let's get started studying that. And study that between now and next Saturday. Let's dig into it and see if we can get some grasp of what is coming to pass upon our world and how bad it's really going to get. You better understand me when I tell you it's bad now. But from now until the rapture, it will only grow worse by the day. It will be constant, worse. I mean, things are just going to go downward. Things are going to go downward. They cannot go in any other direction. And again, I beg of you, if you don't go to a church that preaches the rapture and preaches the things of the coming of the Lord, at least break off tomorrow and come and hear me preach about Matthew 24. Would you do that? Would you slip out tomorrow and come to hear me tomorrow? Remember, you got to turn your clock forward, not backwards, forward. You lose an hour tonight. At 10 o'clock, it'll be 11, okay? At 11, it'll be 12 by the new time. And so get that in your head and fix your clock right now so that you don't be late for church. And I want you to come hear that sermon in the morning. I really do. I want you to come here at one taken, the other left. One taken, the other left. You got to hear that. You really got to hear that. I'm telling you, you got to hear that. One taken and the other left. Now, let me tell you, the only way you're going to make it in this dark hour, you got to hear me when I tell you. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You're not going to be kept by anything but the Bible. Somebody says, no, the Holy Ghost keeps me. The Holy Ghost can't keep you without the Bible. The Bible is your keep. The Bible is your protection. The Bible is that which cannot fail. If you go by a spirit, you may have a wrong spirit. When you go by the Bible, then you'll know the right spirit, and a wrong spirit will be immediately rejected. You got to go by the Bible. So every man shall live by not bread, but by the word of God, living by bread alone. And do you know that's a quote from Deuteronomy? Did you know that? That's a quote from Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. Let me read that to you again. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, friends, I have loved opening my heart to you today. That's all I can say is I've opened my heart. I have some people in this church. People in this church, we're praying every morning about 5 to 6 o'clock. I get here at 5:30, I guess, on the average in the morning. Don't miss unless something that hinders and keeps me. Missed maybe 3-4 times in the last 10 months. And I'm loving it. It's changing my life. And it's helping me come to you with exactly what God wants me to give you and to cry out to you to take heed to yourself, to get yourself right with God. Get in your Bible and get on your face and begin to pray and seek the face of God and make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. And tell all your friends about the coming of the Lord and warn them. Read Luke 21 that I've read from as my main text today. Luke 21, the words of Jesus warning them and saying those words, take heed to yourselves and don't allow yourself to get involved in your troubles and your cares so that you forget God. Don't allow yourself to become drunken with cares and things that you love. And don't let the cares of life, the responsible things, control you. But get yourself right with God. I beg of you. And one more call. Somebody with a joyous expectation of the King coming. Somebody with a shout in your heart about looking up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Did you know that? The Bible says that on several occasions. Look up. Lift up your head. For your redemption draweth nigh. I'm telling you, friend, our redemption is right around the corner. Any moment now, we that are right with God, living godly, pure lives, are going to be out of here and gone. What a moment, what a day, what an hour. I want you to go. I don't want you to get left behind. I want you to go. I'm crying out to you all over the eastern part of North Carolina. Good to be back with you, eastern South Carolina. I beg of you, get yourself right with God. Live clean and holy and righteous and be pure before Him. It's a joy to live a pure life. It's a joy to live a holy life. Okay? Be in God's house somewhere tomorrow. I beg of you. Now, I still got nearly 5 minutes. I got time for a couple of calls. Who's got a question you'd like to ask about the coming of the Lord, about the tribulation period, about the terrible moral depravity that's gripping the land? About the things that demons can do to people and how we see it everywhere. I mean, if I can help you understand these things, that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you get a grasp of God's divine way and God's divine word, and to see the world as it is turning to wickedness, to see the powers of darkness come in like a storm, and to take heed to get yourself so right with God that you can be ready to go at a moment's notice and be out of here and move over there. What a day. What a day. Now, do understand, Jesus may come before tomorrow. So if I was you, I wouldn't wait till tomorrow to get right with God. I would get right with God right where I am right now. When this program is over, or right now, get on your knees. Let me tell you what you do. You repent of your sins. I mean, you've got to be sorry for them. If you love your sins and you're not going to forsake them, you can't get saved. You got to repent of your sins. You got to turn from your sins. You got to say goodbye to your sins. And you got to turn to Christ. And you got to know that the only thing can save you is His blood. So you got to cast yourself entirely and utterly on the blood of Jesus Christ. Believe in Him to wash you from your sins. Believe in Him to make a new creature out of you. Believe in Him to change your life utterly and completely. You got to call on Him, and you got to believe Him, because He alone can change you. He alone can work that miracle in you. And I want to see it. I really do. I'd love to have a bunch of calls saying, I gave my heart to Jesus today. Would you do that? Would you grab the phone if you've given your heart to Christ when the program is over and tell me? 704-391-0588. You got cell phones out there. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want to hear that you got saved, that you gave your heart to the Lord, that you are a new creature. Oh, there's nothing in the world as wonderful as being born again. It really isn't. God bless you, my friends. I'm praying for you. It's been a great program. I'm going to share a little music with you. And while you're praying, you can listen to one of our singers singing a beautiful song. I hope you'll do that. It'll be my joy. It'll be my joy to know that you're hearing and that you're being blessed and that your life is being touched by good Christian music that really opens the heart to the things of God. My friend, Jesus is coming any moment. Any moment. I'm telling you, any moment now, Jesus is coming. There. So get your heart right and get yourself ready and serve Him carefully with all your life. I love you.
Every person
I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I believe in God's power. Well, I don't know whether I have the wrong way here. Right. Hey, sometimes I get it right and sometimes I make it wrong. Okay? You understand that. I'm human just like you are. But Jesus is coming. I want you to hear me preach in the morning now. On one taken and not the other left. Matthew 24. Would you come? Would you come? I'm praying for you. I want you to be saved. I want you to be right with God. I want you to know the Christ and all of His beauty. His love could not be more wonderful. I'm telling you, His love could not be more wonderful. I love you. And God bless you. I'm telling you, I'm having trouble getting this thing to do right for me today because I can't watch and talk to you at the same time. God bless you, my friends. Jesus is coming, and He's coming imminent. I love you. Get ready. The coming of the Lord is at hand.
They called Him Jesus. He came to love. Heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon and to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. Oh, but greater still, that calm
he lives.
And because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All fears
if you feel that, so
one day I'm gonna cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain.
I'm a war with pain.
But then as death gives way to
to me, Jack.